Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of Daniel chapter 11, we were talking about the Roman army stopping the gains of the king of the north and the start of the rise of the kingdom of iron. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
The northern nor the southern kingdoms knew that by these very details that they were fulfilling prophecy. They just didn't have any idea that they were fulfilling what the Word of God had to say about them. And that takes us into verses 18 and 19. After this shall he turn his face unto the isles, and shall take many, but a prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Without his own reproach, he shall cause it to turn upon him. Then he shall turn his face toward the fort of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not be found. Well, after the agreement is reached with Egypt in 197 B.C., Antiochus campaigns into the coastlines of Asia Minor. He's seeking to gain control of the Mediterranean Sea. And he was successful at first on land and sea, and he gained numerous islands of the Aegean Sea. And verse 18 says, he shall take many. The Roman armies withdrew from Greece, and Antiochus was joined by the renowned self-exiled Hannibal. But Rome sent an army that brought a halt to Antiochus's activity. And the Roman general forced Antiochus to return to his own land. This is the prince of verse 18. And the Iron Kingdom of Rome is now beginning to rise. In 191 B.C., Antiochus is driven back by this Roman prince. And the reproach he had offered to bring turned upon him. He was reproached. And that's what we see there in the last part of verse 18, that for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Without his own reproach, he shall cause it to turn upon him. Through a treaty in 188 B.C., he's forced, that is, Antiochus the Great, is forced to abandon all Asia Minor to the Romans. Antiochus returns to his own land, to his own fortress, having lost all that he had gained. And that's what's meant by stumbled and fall in verse 19. Antiochus the Great died 1 year later. And that's what he meant when he said, not to be found. But that takes us into verse 20. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within a few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. Now, the son of Antiochus the Great is identified for us here. History records that he ruled from 187 to 176 B.C. His name was Seleucus the Fourth. When he took over, the kingdom was still sizable. It included Syria, Palestine, Mesopotamia, and Babylonia. And it was near unto Iran, the Medo-Persian areas. The Romans taxed him 1,000 talents per year. And so he sent out tax collectors to places like the temple in Israel, in Jerusalem, to gather his taxes. He is a raiser of taxes. Is literally one who comes and takes it by force in the power of the government. And that's what it means there in verse 20 here, Daniel 11. Boy, does that sound like governments today? They come, they take more and more, and they say, well, this is for the good of humanity. Every time they take from you, it's for the good of humanity. Except you, you're not a part of that humanity, obviously, because it keeps taking from you. And so, they take from you. Now, the Bible's clear. We are to render custom to whom custom. And Jesus said to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. So if the government tells us we owe 20%, we owe 20%. Now, in America, we have the chance to vote those people out of office. Or if we enjoy being taxed, we can vote them into office. But the point of the matter is that when it comes down to it, we have to learn to obey in things that we don't like as long as it's not breaking a scriptural principle. Now, if the government says you can't preach any longer in his name, you preach and you break that scriptural principle. The government tells me I cannot preach against, for example, the sin of homosexuality. And really, that's not a good term. The Bible term is sodomy. And that's what it is when there's a male with a male or a female with a female. The Bible calls it sodomy. And so, when I preach against the sin of sodomy, the government may say, you can't do that. That's hate speech. Well, I've got to go along with the Word of God. Now, by the way, that is not hate speech. We don't preach that and say that and be calling anybody a name. As a matter of fact, homosexual is a wrong scientific name. Homosexual refers in plant life to something that fertilizes and reproduces itself. Homosexuality doesn't do that. And so, the homosexuality of man doesn't do that, okay? And so, sodomy is more of a correct term and the term that the Bible uses. But we don't preach those things because we hate people or it's hate speech. But we preach it that it's sin so that men may know they need to repent. And then we let them know that Jesus actually can take that terrible sin from their life. And he will, if you're willing for him to do so. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Our God is greater than all of our sin. That's why 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 says that some of those were effeminate. Oh, but they were, is the key word. They're not anymore because they were washed. And they were cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we coming back here now to our text, and sometimes we get off onto a little tangent here, but he says he'll be destroyed within a few days here in verse 20 of Daniel 11. He has two ideas. One, after the taxation process was initiated, but also, a second thing, in comparison to his father's 37-year reign, he only reigned a few days before he was destroyed. So either way, whether it's after the 1 year of taxation or just a little bit of time in taxation or that he didn't go as long as his father, he's destroyed within a few days. And he is destroyed neither in anger nor in battle. Now, it is believed that this one, this king of the north, was poisoned, this Seleucus IV. And so, they think that he died as a result of somebody poisoning him. But again, it wasn't a coup attempt as back in the ones in verses 7 through 9. Now, isn't it wonderful again? How wonderfully specific scriptures are in detail 300 years before the event happens. The Bible is authentic, it is authoritative, it is accurate, 100% so, and the scriptures are absolute, without question. My friend, when I think of these prophecies 300 years before they actually took place, and then I think of the over 300 prophecies of Jesus Christ's first coming, and every one of them fulfilled, then, my friend, understand the Bible is right. When Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish," meaning that you would go to the eternal lake of fire, that's true. When Revelation 20, 14 and 15 says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast to the lake of fire," that's true. When the Bible says those in that place have no rest day or night forever and ever, that's true. When the Bible, especially with Jesus Christ speaking in Matthew 7, says that broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leadeth into destruction, and many there be that go therein, and narrow is the way, and straight that leadeth unto life. What did Jesus mean by that? He meant that there is only one way to heaven. Now, today you'll hear people say there are many roads to heaven. Well, they can say that. That's their opinion, maybe their belief. However, the Bible teaches differently. And the Bible is absolutely right. My friend, you better trust the Word of God rather than the philosophies of men. And so the Word of God tells us in Matthew 7, when Jesus is speaking, many will be in that day that will say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name we have cast out devils. In thy name we have done many wonderful works." And then will I profess unto them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now, isn't that interesting? Jesus says, "I never, not that I used to know you, but somehow you lost it. No, I never knew you." You see, these people thought through their preaching, their many wonderful good works, even casting out devils, even miraculous works, that, boy, they're going to heaven. They've earned it. My friend, Jesus did the work for salvation. And he did the only acceptable work for salvation. You cannot work. You cannot earn it. In Ephesians 2, 8, 9, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." My friend, you're not going to go to heaven by your efforts. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.